Today on More to Life, War and Peace. Is conflict wearing you down? Tired of feuding with someone you care about? Let's help you discover the path to a more peaceful relationship. 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, War and Peace. We'll be reading the novel. No, we won't.
Heavens, no.
Not going to do that. But we are talking about conflict and how it tends to wear us down. If you are tired of feuding with someone you care about, or you're just looking for some tips for dealing more effectively with conflict in general, we're going to help you discover the path to a more peaceful life and more pleasant relationships. Sound good? Give us a call. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, I think every single one of us wants more peace. And to talk about, you know, feuding, that doesn't have to mean that you're yelling and screaming with someone. Unfortunately, though, we all have those relationships in our lives that occasionally turn to that, where we get together and it's either about particular things, or you guys have had such, you know, damaging situations in your relationship up to now that you do end up really feuding with each other. Temperatures, emotional temperatures go up, things are said, voices are raised. But when we're talking about this kind of conflict, it can just be those people. It's like a stream under the ground. You know, the tension between you is just always running. And anytime you think of having to deal with them, your shoulders kind of go up around your ears. You get tense. You think, oh, you know, it's going to be the same way again and again. So whether you're dealing with big conflicts, constant, smaller, quieter conflicts, are just those things that pop up during the day between you and your kids, or you and your spouse, or you and your coworkers. Gosh, none of us really enjoy conflict. We really want to live in the peace of God and just have a lovely life and relationships. If that sounds good and you want more of that and less of the conflict, we are here for you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in via email. That address, questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com. But if you're listening live, we love hearing from you, being able to ask you those follow-up questions. So give us a holler at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you tired of conflict complicating your life and relationships? Are disagreements coming between you and someone specific that you care about? For instance, maybe you and your spouse keep butting heads over the same issue. You know, even the best marriages find that they argue about the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and over again. But sometimes, you know, with some new tools, you can break through those barriers. Maybe you and your either young or adult kids are arguing over expectations or your beliefs. Maybe differences are dividing you and a family member or a friend. You know, whether you're tired of dealing with conflict between you and a particular person, or you'd just like some tips for dealing more effectively with conflict in general, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to diffuse the tension and increase your peace. Again, the number 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day. through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering what that is and how it could possibly help you deal with conflict, well, you've come to the right place. Because St. John Paul gave a series of reflections when he was Pope over the course of about 5 years that looked at how we can discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design in creation, especially his design of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that we are called to live in communion. Ironically, because we live in a fallen world, building that communion requires us to learn to deal gracefully with conflict. Our natural human tendency is to either try to avoid conflict as much as possible, even when we shouldn't, or to get caught up in it and fan the flames. But neither of those choices are options for the Christian. In fact, they're both sinful. Avoiding problems we could do something about is actually the sin of sloth, while escalating conflict needlessly is the sin of wrath. Fortunately, when it comes to dealing with conflict, we Christians have a third option: to be the peacemakers God called us to be.
So being a peacemaker, though, is to work to restore the right order that God desires in a situation. So when conflicts come up, being a peacemaker doesn't mean just keeping a lid on things any more than it means unnecessarily turning up the heat. It means starting disagreements by seeking God's wisdom and grace and entering into conflicts with the intention of working for the good of everybody involved, including ourselves, and doing what we can to both encourage everyone involved in the conflict through the tension and toward godly solutions. You know, a peacemaker neither runs from conflict nor fans the flames of conflict. Instead, the peacemaker is somebody who knows lots of different ways to actively engage and extinguish the fire so that new life can spring up from the ashes. And that sounds really good in theory, but when that particular person that irritates you is standing in front of you saying those things that get under your skin and doing those things that cause your emotional temperature to rise, well, that's another story altogether, right? So give us a call on our show today titled War and Peace as we talk about those conflicts that wear us down and whether you're tired of feuding with someone in particular that you care about or just are looking for more grace-filled ways to manage conflict in general. We are here for you. 877-573-7825.
I think it's important to realize that we do all fall into these tendencies, even these sins about how we handle conflict, because we are human and living in a fallen world. But it's about more than just trying to be peaceful, just trying to be sweet to everyone. It really is about getting new skills and figuring out how we can deal with things in a more effective way, in a way that invites God into the situation, that betters our relationships and betters our lives. And if that sounds like something you want to know more about, you need in your life, well, let's talk about it today. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord and start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those people and situations that cause us to be in conflict. You know, none of us enjoys conflict. None of us enjoys being in an argument or disagreement with someone we care about. None of us enjoy having conversations that escalate quickly. But Lord, that's part of living in this broken, fallen world. And we ask you, in those times of conflict, to avoid those temptations to either commit the sin of sloth and avoid dealing with problems we could do something about, or commit the sin of wrath by unnecessarily fanning the flames of conflict. Instead, Lord, we ask you for the grace, the wisdom, and the help that we need to be peacemakers, people who are working to do your will in every situation, working for the good of everyone involved in the conflict, and working to find grace-filled solutions to those conflicts so that we can build communion through communication. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, our show is titled War and Peace. No, we're not reading the novel. Despite I tried to do that at the beginning, but people
they
said,
won't give us that much time.
No, copyright things and all that. But no, what we're talking about is conflict, and whether you are feuding with someone in particular in your life, and that's stressing you out, or you're just looking for some tips for dealing more effectively and gracefully with conflict in general, we want to help you discover the path to a more peaceful relationship and a healthier, calmer life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You can also shoot us an email if you're listening to the podcast later on. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com.
Well, let's start with an email from questions@moretoliferadio.com that came in today from Noreen, who is listening in Pennsylvania. She said, I've been married for 20 years, and I find that I have grown very resentful. I've been a stay-at-home mother of two boys who are now in middle school and high school, and I find that everything is left up to me. We do clean up the dinner dishes together, but all the laundry, the picking up, the cleaning is left to me. I have asked a million times that the boys and my husband would at least put away their laundry that I fold, but it never happens. I've gotten to the point where I find myself yelling or grumbling. I feel disrespected, taken advantage of, and my husband won't follow through when I complain to him. He says we should all help mom to the boys, and then no one does. I am done. I feel unloved, disrespectful, and I feel angry all the time. The conflict is driving me crazy. I have a need. I state it, and nobody comes alongside of me. Is there anything I can do to fix both the relationships and my need to have these things done? And that is Noreen in Pennsylvania.
All right, Noreen, thank you so much for the question. And, I certainly can hear your frustration. And what you're dealing with is, unfortunately, a relatively common problem. But that doesn't make it any easier to deal with. So I want to address the specific thing that you're raising here. I also want to kind of look at the bigger concern here. I wonder, is this specifically just around chores, or do you feel this way around kind of all of your needs? That, you know, when you try to communicate your needs to your husband about anything, emotionally, spiritually, or otherwise, does he also kind of shine you on there? If so, this might be a larger issue requiring some marriage counseling. And I just want to keep that in the back of your mind. I'm going to respond to the specific complaint, though, assuming that, you know, this isn't a bigger issue. But if it goes beyond this, then please do seek some professional help for this. The specific concern, you know, a lot of times we think that if we just complain about something, then it's that will fix it. If I just say I'm frustrated about thus and such, then you know, our spouse, you know, is a grown, competent person. Our children look like they're capable people. We just figure they're going to go do the thing, right? Unfortunately, we have to be taught how to do those things, and a lot of times, boys aren't. You know, we kind of do a terrible job of teaching boys how to be active participants in family life and in the household stuff.
And I have to say, at this time in history, there are a lot of us girls who haven't been taught this either. I mean, you know, social media abounds with videos to watch if you are a grown woman who has no idea how to manage your household, because our mothers really weren't around to teach us the skills, or thought we would just absorb them. So much more, as you're saying, Greg, the boys and men in our lives.
Yeah, so, and you know, that applies to your husband as well, because, you know, again, I'm guessing that he was not raised in a household where he was expected to do this stuff, so he doesn't have it kind of built into him to do it. Again, none of this is an excuse. This is just kind of framing the problem so that you can actually address it. Because if that's the case, then just complaining that these things aren't getting done or complaining that you guys aren't doing it isn't going to work. What you really need to have happen is two things. First of all, creating routines in the household where everybody knows, you know, on Wednesday evening, we fold and put away laundry together. You know, on Tuesday, we do these, you know, there's a flow. Routines in a household create a flow that carries everybody along with it. You know, we just all do these things together at this time and on these days and in these ways. And we do it together, and it happens every week, and it happens all the time. And so I don't have to tell you. You just know that's part of who we are as a family.
Now, you can't just spring this on them. You know, they're in the middle of all the things on their schedule, including their homework and the emails that your husband's handling after work or whatever those things are. And you say, it's Wednesday night. We're all going to fold a week's worth of laundry. You really do need to sit down, come up with a schedule and a plan together of how you're going to get these systems put into play.
Well, the word together is key. It's, mm-hmm. it's really sitting down with your husband and your boys and saying, okay, guys, get your calendar out. You know, we're gonna pick a day where we do this. We're going to pick a day where we do this. And you put it down there. Now they're not going to remember to do it. All right? So it is at first going to be up to you to remind everybody and say, okay, and not just in the moment. It's going to be the night before and or the morning of, saying, let's go over our schedule today and see when what we've got going on. Okay, today we are doing the laundry this evening at, you know, thus and such a time, and we're doing that all together. And then when the time happens, okay, guys, come on, let's get together and do the chore together. And so you all fold it together, and everybody carries it to their rooms and puts it away, and you're seeing it happening, and it's getting done. The beauty of being able to do this is that you're using that chore to actually create connection, because the point of doing this isn't just to do the chore, it's to actually connect together as a family around the stuff that your family has to do anyway. And when you do it all together like that, you're making sure that your expectations are being met, that everybody's working together and it's getting done, and that's how you create a routine. Now, so once you've done that 3 or 4 weeks in a row, then everybody's going to know, this is how we do these things. This is how it gets done. This is what mom's really asking for. And you're going to feel a lot more supported. You're going to feel a little resentful at first. Why do I have to be the one to make all this? That's just the reality of your situation right now. You're going to have to push past that.
And right now, for all these 20 years of your marriage, you have been acting in the place of an employee. In some ways, you know, you'll get the dinner done, you'll get the laundry done, you'll get the chores done. You ask for people to come alongside of you, but you've set yourself up as this doer of primary things. I'd like you to switch that mindset into being, you're the educator, you're the coach, you're the manager of your home. So you're now saying, okay, I'm not this person who's just meant to do everybody's stuff. I'm this person who's meant to schedule the family meetings where we're going to discuss this. Talk about what the systems are going to be.
To facilitate and to manage instead of doing. And the more you're able to do that, then the more you kind of step out of that role of everything being up to you. Listen, Noreen, I'd really encourage you to not just run with the suggestions we're making here, but to join the Catholic Home Community. That's HOM. It stands for Households on Mission. Download the Catholic HOM app today. It's available for Android and iOS. The first month's free, but I'd really love for you to be part of this community, because this is exactly what we do every day. In addition to providing great resources and fun activities for families, our whole team of pastoral counselors is on the Catholic HOM app, answering questions from subscribers, hosting weekly discussions about these kinds of topics, and helping families just like you create more faithful, loving, caring, connected Catholic households on mission. That's what HOM stands for. So download the Catholic HOM app today and begin building that stronger, more loving, cooperative, collaborative team that you're longing for. Thanks so much for the call, Noreen. I hope that you'll be able to run with the suggestions we've made on the call, and I really hope that you'll join the Catholic HOM community so that we can keep supporting you in building that great Catholic household on mission. All right, we have to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about conflict on our show titled War and Peace. If conflict in general is wearing you down, or you're tired of feuding specifically with someone you care about, we want to help you discover the path to more peaceful relationships and a more peaceful life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I don't like looking back. I prefer to look forward and keep moving forward. There's plenty to cover. I do a lot of research and try to dig out the bits and pieces of a life or of an agenda that people don't want to talk about.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, Thursday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled War and Peace, as we talk about the ways conflict complicates our lives and relationships, and more importantly, grace-filled ways to resolve those complications. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Joanna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Vermont on the Ave Maria Radio app.
Hey, Joanna, welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Hi there. Thanks for having me. This is a great topic today for me because I've just been really thinking about what you said about how when there's something that we can do something about that we're not doing something about, it's a sin of sloth. And my frustration is that in the situation with my adult daughter, with my young adult daughter, it feels so not peaceful and so not conflicted. And I have tried some things, some of which have backfired drastically. And just to give you context, she's in her early 30s and has a very kind of, I just consider it like a very woke worldview, and I embrace a Catholic worldview. So it's hard to talk about things of consequence with, it's hard to talk about things because it's often, it's just like an instant shutdown. Even if we're just trying to share each other's feelings. I do have three other young adult kids and we're all a pretty tight family. We go on a lot of trips together and have a lot of fun, but they do live distant. They live across the country near each other. Out west. So it is hard because I don't get a whole lot of personal time with her. And I guess if I had to say one thing that could help me today move forward with this would be she came home for a surprise last Mother's Day and we were going for a walk. And I asked her, would you, could we make times together? Because she's super busy. I'm super busy. And I'm like, hey, like you call me a lot, but often you miss me, either my phone is off or whatever. Could we make a time just like for a coffee date or whatever? And she's like, no, absolutely not. Like, I'll call you when I call you. And
oh my.
And I just don't know what to do with that. And then
so there's real resentment that you're getting from her. It's not just you try to have conversations, you have different opinions and it blows up. She's stonewalling you in a lot of ways.
Super, we have to keep things super shallow and it goes fine. Like, she calls me several times a week, most of which, like, I don't catch because I'm either on a business call or I'm on the phone with another friend or kid or whatever. Like, so I'm getting real resistance and resentment from her.
Because initially I thought what you were describing was, you know, that you guys just have a lot of different views politically and you know, worldwise and all that. But what you're pointing to here is that she even will, like, fight with you if you try to work on the relationship. If you're saying, hey, you know, pick a time, you get pushback even about those kinds of things. What's the do you understand what her resistance is about there? Or is that, have you asked her why that's so offensive to her?
I'm not sure, but when she went home after that phone call, because I was just like, wait, like, I make time for my friends. And I'm like, I'm just asking you to make time because I want to make time for you. And we just ended up in a stalemate from that call, from that walk. It was awful. And I didn't really think that she held on to that, but boy, I saw her 6 months later in person, and we had a long talk about it. But we didn't make progress on that, so I just feel really stuck.
All right, so I'm going to ask you to hold on over the break because they're playing us out right now, but we'll come back in about a minute and just kind of sum up what you said and then offer some thoughts when we come back. Thanks for hanging on, Joanna. And folks, if you're listening and you've got conflict in your relationships, give us a holler at 877-573-7825. We'll be back in a minute.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We listen to all kinds of things, as the Pope says. The radio, the TV, we listen to our phones, all kinds of other messages. But are we silencing ourselves enough that we may listen for God? The other thing we need to do is continue to educate ourselves on the faith. Are we listening to Catholic programming on a regular basis? Are we attending really good, healthy, faith-filled conferences to learn more from those who may be scripture scholars or apologists, or maybe just a good talk from a spiritual leader, or maybe watching a good video of a wonderful priest such as a Father John Ricardo or a Bishop Barron or someone else? So continue to, as Father John Harden used to say, educate, educate, educate yourself in the Catholic faith.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
What does the Catholic Catechism teach concerning the natural human curiosity and desire to know the future? Paragraph 2115 counsels us that a sound Christian attitude consists in putting oneself confidently in the hands of Providence for whatever concerns the future, and giving up all unhealthy curiosity about it. What does the Catechism condemn as unhealthy curiosity? All forms of divination, deifying objects as persons, are to be rejected, as are consulting horoscopes, astrology, palm readings, interpretations of omens and lots, clairvoyance, and mediums. All these venues conceal a desire for power over time, history, and other human beings, powers that belong to God alone. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Our children don't belong to us. They belong to God. God gives his earthly children earthly parents because he wants them to be able to feel his love through your body and see his face in your eyes. Christian moms and dads are meant to be the face of God to our kids. That's a beautiful thought, but it can be a little intimidating. Don't worry. God wants to parent with you, and he gives us his grace to raise his kids well. That said, this mindset requires us to be open to parenting differently than how we were raised or what comes naturally to us. No matter how good your parents were, they weren't as perfect as our Heavenly Father is. And no matter how well we turned out, we aren't saints. Yet, every day, ask God to help you be the parent he wants you to be. Ask him to give you the grace to love generously, correct gently, and let your kids know that you delight in the gift they are to you. Pray that God will help you be the parent he's calling you to be and enable you to bring out the best in your kids. To learn more, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled War and Peace, as we talk about conflict and all the ways it complicates our lives and relationships. And more importantly, how to find grace-filled solutions for those complications. Give us a call if you're tired of dealing with conflict with a particular person in your life, or if you're just looking for better ways to deal with conflict in general. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Joanna in Vermont. Joanna, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for hanging on. So just to summarize, you were sharing that you have a 31-year-old daughter and that, you know, the relationship tends to be fairly superficial. She calls several times a week, but you guys have very different worldviews. You have a very kind of devout Catholic worldview. She doesn't. But it goes beyond that, where even if you just ask her to do things like, hey, can we schedule a regular call instead of just you calling me at random times, she even pushes back about those kinds of things. She's very touchy and sort of hostile about almost everything. And you're just trying to figure out how can you build a relationship with somebody like that. Is that a fair summary?
Yes.
Anything else you wanted to add before I offer some thoughts?
No, I think that that's really just I'm just looking for a nugget of wisdom to move forward and to try to do something different because the same old thing isn't working with her. And I know she wants to feel loved. I know she values me and talks well of me to all her. I just don't know why she's resistant to like making time for each other.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is odd, you know, because, like, again, when you first started describing it, it sounded like, you know, a fairly common situation where, you know, our adult kids don't think like we do, and we're just butting heads about that. But it does seem to go beyond that, that there's some deeper resentment in the relationship, and I know that you're not sure why that is. So what I would suggest, well, and your attempts to address that have just provoked more hostility. So what I'm going to suggest to you is taking kind of a longer view and a stepwise approach. I'm going to suggest that you start by making sure that she's calling you several times a week. So that's actually a good sign. And despite the hostility and the touchiness, you know, there's a connection there and that she wants that connection. And that's a good thing. We can build on that. I'm going to suggest starting simply with just kind of daily texting her, you know, just, hey, I was thinking about you. This is going on. How's your day? You know, keeping it chatty, keeping it superficial, keeping it light.
Especially if she did mention anything in those phone calls that's going on in her life. You know, actually, while you're talking to her, keep notes. You know, she's having this meeting on this day. She's getting together and doing something with a friend on that day. So you can make those texts light, but also about your interest in her and how she's doing.
You know, research on relationships tends to show that the best relationships and most conflict-resistant relationships are the ones that maintain about a 20-to-1 ratio of positive to negative interactions. So increasing the texting helps you be able to beef up that positive to negative ratio, you know, where you're keeping it light, you're keeping it friendly, you're keeping it focused on just, you know, hey, how's it going? And I'm here to support you. Then when she calls, you know, you just respond by text, hey, I'm sorry I missed your call. I'd be available at this time if you'd like to try to connect. Because she's resistant to the idea of you setting up a weekly time for some reason. You said you don't know why, and when you ask why, she just gets a little touchy about it. So make it, when she calls you, text her back, say, hey, I'm really sorry that I missed your call. I could be available at this time if you'd like to call me back then. And so you're handling it in the moment. And then over time, you know, when she consistently works out where she maybe does call you at that time, then you're saying, hey, you know, this seems to be working out for us to schedule a time to talk. Why don't we try that again, right? So you're able to kind of tiptoe into that kind of a thing. But you're keeping up the superficial, friendly, chatty texting relationship and kind of building on it from there.
Now, I think that, you know, some of our listeners might be saying, yes, but what about all of these important issues? And what about the state of this child's soul? I mean, she's 31, but she's still her child, right? We cannot, Jesus did not evangelize people before he had deep relationship with people. So putting this relationship and healing it as the number one priority in this situation is the only way to ever be able to help someone, anyone, especially our own family members, begin to see things through a different lens, if that's what's bothering anybody who's listening.
In terms of the relationship tension, I mean, and Joanna, I'm going to ask you to take this to prayer because I'm not necessarily picking this up from you, but, you know, just trying to read between the lines. When I see this dynamic occurring between parents and adult kids, where, you know, even our attempts to kind of improve the relationship with them either fall on deaf ears or get a negative reaction, very often that suggests that the adult child feels like we're making it all about us for some reason, and they resent having one more thing to do. Again, I'm not really picking that up from you, but that's where I usually see this kind of dynamic. So make sure that any invitations that you give to her to, you know, schedule a time to call or to, you know, get together or whatever are in response to her reaching out to you first. Like, so I said, like, if she calls you and you miss the call, you text her back and say, hey, I would be available with us in such a time if you'd like to chat then. Then you leave it up to her. Don't follow it up, right? Because if you follow up again and you say, hey, you didn't call with us in such time, what's the matter? Then in her mind, you're making it about you. Well, you're not, but that's where her head is, right? Even with, you know, kind of being proactive about, hey, let's schedule a time to do something. That's a very friendly and helpful thing. In her mind, she's saying, oh, I'm so busy, and here's mom demanding my time. Again, not fair, but that's the feedback that you're getting. So, you know, you want to make any kind of overture a response to her attempt to reach out to you, and then you leave it up to her, right? Because that's what makes it a positive interaction. Even if she doesn't follow through, you've at least left it open that, hey, I want to be here for whatever you want. Right. And then over time, as it becomes clearer to her that you're adopting that more supportive posture, hopefully she opens up more. We do talk about this more in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Her Adult Sons and Daughters. It's not a book just about having those conversations. It's really about how do you build a relationship with an adult kid who you know, is living their own life and kind of doing things that maybe we don't agree with. How do we build that relationship and have those conversations so that we can mentor our kids even if there's a little bit of antagonism? So that book will kind of take you further. These suggestions will get you started. Again, the name of that book is Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. or wherever books are sold. Joanna, I hope that these thoughts will get you started. If there's more we can do for you once you've tried to take advantage of some of these suggestions, please don't hesitate to call us back here on More to Life. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled War and Peace, as we talk about the ways that conflict wears us down. Give us a call. The number again, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Margaret, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Margaret. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Okay, what's going on is I've been having problems in my marriage. So my pastor referred me to a Catholic psychiatrist, and I talked to her a few times, and one of the latest ones was that my husband's been, in her opinion, definitely has narcissistic character behaviors. And my question is, do I have to now think about a divorce?
Well, no. I mean, let's kind of put this. I mean, the next step would be trying to get him help. Because the reality is, even if he has narcissistic personality disorder, there are different degrees of that. It's on a kind of a spectrum, to mild, to moderate, to severe. And a person with a mild or moderate personality disorder can change if enough heat and pressure is put on them to do it. It's not a lot of fun, and it isn't easy, but it is possible. And so, you know, your psychiatrist believes that your husband might have a narcissistic personality, but he hasn't been evaluated and diagnosed yet, right? And very often, you know, the perspective can change once that person comes in for help. And the best way to get your husband in to help is not to ask him, not to say, honey, would you think that we need counseling? It's more to say, honey, I really need us to get some counseling together, and I've made this appointment, and I'm going to go with you or without you, but I would really love it if you would be there, because I want to make sure that you're getting your side told, so that the counselor can really help us both, because if I'm just going, they're just hearing my side. That's the best way to appeal to a narcissist and get them into counseling, because then they want their story to be told. And the key is just to get him in the door so that he can be properly evaluated and you can get a clearer sense of what you're actually dealing with. You know, with somebody who has mild to moderate personality disorders, or even just somebody who has personality traits, you know, somebody can tend toward narcissism without being a narcissist. You know, sometimes they're just a little selfish around the edges, and they need to kind of be given a little bit of reality testing, or have some boundaries or limits set. But then there are other people who do have a diagnosed personality disorder who need more structure, and the counselor can evaluate that. But the next step is really evaluating the severity of the disorder and how workable the situation really is. And just to anybody else out there, you know, even if somebody has a personality disorder, that doesn't negate the marriage, right? Now, what it can say is if somebody has a severe personality disorder, it can affect their ability to consent to marriage as the church defines it, or it can impair their ability to live a marriage as the church defines it. But the marriage enjoys the benefit of the doubt as far as the church is concerned, and grace can do a lot. So you have to kind of walk through the process, because marriage, like all the sacraments, is a sacrament of healing. We often forget that. But, you know, all of us are broken in terms of our capacity to love each other as God would have us love each other. And so all of us come into marriage not knowing how to love each other, maybe at all, but certainly not knowing how to love each other the way God wants us to. And so the grace of marriage heals that broken capacity for love in each of us. If we are capable of participating with that grace in any way, then we can be healed of those impediments to loving the way God wants us to love. So, you know, just because somebody slaps a label on something doesn't automatically mean that they're impervious to grace. It's possible, you know, like I said, with severe personality disorders, that person may be impervious to that grace, because even God can't contravene our free will, right? But you have to kind of walk through the steps to see, what do we need to do to cooperate with that healing grace that marriage confers to our ability and capacity to love the way God wants us to love. So what you've got here, Margaret, so far is good information on some possible challenges you're dealing with in the relationship. The next step is for you to learn how to set appropriate boundaries while still building rapport in the relationship, and really more effectively challenging your husband to come in and get a proper evaluation and get proper counseling, so that the two of you can see how you can do a better job cooperating with the grace that marriage is offering to heal these broken parts in each of you. I would also suggest that you check out our book. I completely blocked the title. I'm sorry. Healing: How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. There we go.
You have to go through 20 of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But it talks about 8 research-based habits that healthy couples practice that any couple can learn. And it could be a great resource for you and your husband to cooperate with the support you're already getting. Thank you so much for the call, Margaret. If there's more we can do to support you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. Again, you can also check out the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which is available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. 877-573-7825. We're talking about conflict today on our show titled War and Peace. And if you're tired of feuding with a specific person, or just looking for more grace-filled ways to deal with conflict in general in your life, give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 7825. If you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, shoot us an email at questions@moretoliferadio.com. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20.
Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
And again, James is not saying that anger is bad. He's talking about the anger of man. In other words, selfish anger as opposed to kind of righteous anger. You know, St. John Chrysostom pointed out that when we don't get angry about things that we have that we should be angry about, that's actually sin, because anger points to an injustice. Right? But the first response to anger shouldn't be taking it out on somebody else. It should be bringing it to God and saying,
exactly.
Lord, teach me what to do with this anger. Show me how to express it in a way that glorifies you, helps me be my best self, and helps me invite the other person to be their best self too, so that we can find the solutions you want for us.
Because what James 1:19 through 20 is saying here is it's not our anger that's going to affect change in people or in a situation. It's inviting God into it. It's being slow enough to speak, slow enough to delve into our selfish anger, that we calm down and say, Lord, as you were saying, Greg, teach me what to do here. Come into this with your grace. Give us your Holy Spirit in this situation. Enlighten my mind. That's inviting God to bring his righteousness into the situation and puts us in the place of his docile servants so that we can affect his change, not just go on our own initial reaction.
With that, we have to go to break, but when we come back, more with your calls about dealing with conflict, either with a particular person or just in general. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
At EWTN Radio, your family. And because you're a part of our family, we value your opinions on what you hear on EWTN. You can call our listener comment line 24/7 at 205-795-5773. We value your comments, your questions, and any suggestions you may have to make EWTN Radio even better. 205-795-5773. And thank you for listening to EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and the show is titled War and Peace today as we talk about all the ways conflict complicates our lives.
Before we take our next call, we just want to send out congratulations to two Kentucky members of EWTN Radio's family. Holy Family Radio in Louisville is celebrating 25 years with EWTN, and Immaculate Heart Radio in Hopkinsville marks 21 years with us.
Congratulations to Vince Heiser at WLCR in Louisville and Jim Monroe at WSPP in Hopkinsville. From all your friends here at EWTN and wherever you're tuning in to EWTN, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station. Let's keep EWTN here going for decades to come to keep supporting you in living a more joyful and abundant life. With that, let's take our next call. Lisa, who's up?
Let's talk to our next listener who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Hi there, caller. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi there. I have been married to my husband for almost 7 years. We've had some ongoing issues with addictive things on his part, addiction on and off to gaming and pornography. But within the last year, he had an emotional affair, and since then has been pretty indifferent about what to do moving forward. We have two children together, and so he feels a moral pull to not abandon us, but there's not really much effort or work being put in on his part, and I'm kind of lost knowing like how to advocate for our marriage or advocate for how to live like a single life. We've been separated since January, so I know there's kind of a lot of components, but I was trying
So you're living separately from him since January, is that correct? Yes. Is that what we heard?
Yeah.
And when you say he has a moral pull to stay with you and not abandon you and the children, has he said that to you, just basically, I don't really want to be here, but I'll stay because of you and the kids? Like,
yes.
What? Yes.
So what is he doing anything to, or I guess, are the two of you doing anything to try to heal the relationship, or for, you know, to get back together, or where does that stand?
We see each other weekly with our kids. We're both in person, like one-on-one counseling. We've tried marriage counseling in the past. Two different times, and it kind of always came to the point where the counselors recommended that he do a lot of like personal work first before we could address some of like the deep-seated trust issues, like with the betrayal of pornography and all of those other things.
Okay, and how does he react to that?
I think he kind of feels overwhelmed by the mountain of things that he feels he has to do, and I don't expect him to change overnight, but I don't have any reassurance from him that this is actually what he wants.
And is he willing to move back in at all, or is that not
an
option?
He wants to move back in. I just don't personally feel that that's prudent, since no work has happened since January.
All right. That's fair. I understand what you're saying. So, just in the time that we've got, you know, what I would suggest is that you're describing these addictive behaviors. Generally speaking, in my experience, that suggests a kind of a deeper sense of depression. You're married to a guy who doesn't feel like he's got a lot of power in his life, who doesn't know how to have what we call an internal locus of control. In other words, he doesn't believe that, you know, if he feels bad about something, he doesn't feel like he can do anything about it, that he just has to numb himself or make himself feel better with addictive behaviors or with a relationship or with whatever. He tends to use things to make himself feel better instead of doing what a healthy person does, which is say, there's a problem, how can I break that down and what can I do to begin to solve it? And so because of that, that leads to a depressive lifestyle, a depressive attitude in general, that causes him to perpetually fall into that temptation for either addictive behaviors or even infidelity, because really underneath infidelity is that idea that you make me feel better, and that's how they get kind of caught up in that. So in terms of, you know, what to do, it's a very important thing that you're making. I'm glad that you're both getting personal counseling. I want to encourage you to stick with that and keep following the advice of your own counselors. But realize that that this is not so much a marital issue as it is, you know, his issue of this kind of more depressive and more external locus of control that causes him to feel powerless in a lot of areas of his life. And he's not going to be able to make a commitment to you, and you're not going to be able to trust him until he can acknowledge that problem and begin dealing with that directly. Because until he can see that he is capable of doing things to make his life better or doing things to address the challenges and problems that get him down instead of just numbing himself with either behaviors or chemicals or relationships, then, you know, he's not going to be able to work with you to build a better marriage. So you need to kind of keep that in mind as you're moving forward. and looking at whether you can trust him or not. I wish I could give you more, but I'm glad that you're receiving that ongoing support. That's the most important thing, and I hope that these suggestions will give you a way to conceive of the best way forward. Thanks for the call. And that's all the time we've got for today's show. Thanks so much for listening. If there's more that we can do to support you in dealing with the conflicts in your marriage, family, or personal life, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. And remember, get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.